Dan Weider covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune and, of course, does the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody and has these cool wristbands that they're giving out now that they have merchandise. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, we're exploding now, David. We're deep into the merch industry.
Yeah, I know. I'm gone.
And David leaves and you guys get merch.
T-shirts and sweatshirts and wristbands. All right, let's talk about the Bears because I think we talked to Bill O'Brien last hour, Dan, and it was an interesting conversation because, number one, we learned that Ben Johnson's college roommate was on his staff.
He's the offensive coordinator for BC.
And vouched for Ozzie Trapillo, did not realize that. And also, he described ways that he believes Ozzie Trapillo can make an impact early and has confidence in, sounded like, either side of the line of scrimmage. Just wondered, not necessarily after hearing Bill O'Brien's take on it, but what do you expect from Ozzie Trapillo, second-round draft pick?
Well, listen, what you just said there at the end is important. This is a second-round draft pick. This isn't a dice roll on a day three flyer. This is a guy that you drafted at a place on the board where he should become a starter for you, where he should become an impact contributor for you. And in the best-case scenario, he becomes a second contract guy that is a starter on your offensive line for a long time. This isn't just a second round. You just throw a dart at the board and hope that it works out. You do those and you make those picks because you have belief. The word that kept coming up with Ozzie Trapillo was dependability, that this guy is really smart. He doesn't get himself in a lot of trouble. He doesn't commit a lot of penalties, and he's going to be, you know, tough and durable and sturdy for you. So now what the Bears have to do in May and into early June is figure out how much experimenting they want to do and where they want to do it. And as you know, you heard Ryan Poles before the draft and again afterwards say that he was open to testing Darnell Wright on the left side, something that Darnell did at Tennessee. And so that experiment will be part of it. And then I think probably ideally, if you're doing this with an eye on stability for training camp, you want to get through some of the mixing and matching as soon as possible. So whether that's at the end of mini camp or in the first week of training camp, I think you want to hit August with a sense of these are our five starters and we don't want to be shuffling through the entire preseason.
It's going to give you a little bit of more. Ozzie's going to get a lot of reps, right? Like Ben said that he's going to get a lot of reps because Braxton's out. I'm just curious, is the spring the time to sort of work those things out? Because we know when Braxton's back, he's going to play left tackle. Do you see what I'm saying? Like the puzzle pieces may, you know what I mean? Like the puzzle pieces, maybe now is the best time to do it in the spring. Obviously, it's hard to say without pads on and all those things. But
that's it. Yeah. So that's the other wrinkle in the equation is most O-line evaluations are difficult to get a true picture on until the pads come on. And so they find themselves in a little bit of a pickle trying to project and guess and trust what they're seeing with their eyes before they're actually playing real football up front. But you do have to feel out comfort. You do have to feel out footwork. You do have to feel out kind of how that whole group together is gelling. And you got to make a pretty good decision to try to get yourself set up for success with an offense that should have every reason to believe it can be successful in 2025.
Dan, when I look at draft classes, I try to project who could be a starter on a playoff team. And this year, when you look at the Bears and when they could possibly return to the playoffs, conceivably it's in the next, could happen next year, but likely in the next 2 years and better be in the next three or else they're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
When you look at this class of 2025, how many starters do you see that are guys you could project as being starters on a playoff team?
First of all, if they haven't made a playoff appearance by the end of 2026, then you might have to take all my Take the North merch and give it somewhere else because I don't know that I can stick in on that roller coaster
much
longer.
We're going to give back the North. We'll give it back. Give back the North.
It's been given back for a long time. They got to get to the point of taking here. But to your point, David, obviously Loveland, your first pick, you would expect to be a blue chipper. I mean, Burden definitely has the talent to be. You've got to just figure out a way to develop him, manage him, figure out what is going to make him best with the pieces that are already around him. You would hope that one of those two second rounders, again, Trapillo, I think is the one that could become a low key defining pick of this draft to see what they're able to squeeze out of him. I said this yesterday. I left Saturday night feeling, and day three of the draft is day three of the draft. So I don't want to overstate this, but it just felt like a day of shrugs. It was like, fast linebacker, okay, UTSA corner, all right, you know, RB22 in round seven, could probably miss the boat a little bit on a really good running back class there. And so I didn't really feel like day three provided much of an adrenaline rush to the conversation that you're having here about guys that will be playoff team contributors.
I want to talk to you about Kyle Manungai because I feel like this is the big mystery. Obviously, you hear the stories of seventh round running backs having great careers. And I wonder just sort of what it takes to evaluate a running back's transition into the NFL. And it feels like it's a hard thing to do, and it's all based on situation, the situation that they come into in the NFL. Just your evaluation of Kyle Manungai, and is this someone that you think could potentially contribute on this Bears roster?
Well, let me start here before we get to Kyle, because I did ask Ryan Poles a question late Saturday evening about the running backs portion of the draft board sort of dancing away from
them all question,
weekend.
Dan.
And I just felt like, you know, through the week, you had this Thursday buzz about Ashton Jeanthe potentially becoming a Bear. You had hopes on Friday that maybe Trevion Henderson would be there when you picked. You went into to day three with a whole bunch, a dozen or more of the top 20 consensus running backs in the draft still available. And then you left with RB22. And so I don't think this was the best case scenario for the Bears in the backfield, right? I think they had grander dreams, and drafts are like that sometimes. They can be pretty fickle and pretty cruel. And at the running back position, it was kind of cruel to the Bears. They weren't able to make happen what they thought could happen. So now, Kyle Manungai, you've got a guy that comes in, by all accounts, is really, really tough, really, really driven, a high character guy. He's going to squeeze every last drop of potential out of his NFL journey. You just have to figure out where that potential takes you. And I think in the short term, Ben Johnson's got to figure out how does that fit in with their running backs room now? We know Swift is the current starter. They may go shopping on the veteran free agent market here soon to try to add to that room. You've got Roshan, Travis Homer, Ian Wheeler still around. So there's a lot of things that have to play out just for Kyle Manungai to get a longer look and the reps that he needs to show them that he can be a player that can be part of their program for the long term.
Let's stay on the running back position for a moment. You got a Cleveland radio station bidding Nick Chubb farewell and mentioning the NFC North team that he's reportedly has an agreement with. You've got maybe J.K. Dobbins on the move out in L.A. You've got Breece Hall, the subject of rumors in New York. Any of those make sense to you, Dan? Do you expect the Bears to be active trying to figure out what to do and how to add a veteran running back to the mix?
Yeah, I think you'd add like Jeff Wilson, maybe Cam Akers to that list. You know, guys that are out there and looking for work. They've got to figure out what they want to do, you know, and like I say, I think this week is the time to step back from what you thought would have been your best case scenarios in the draft, and then what is reality, and try to reevaluate, okay, what are the positions we need to go after right away? I would think that running back is going to convince them to be active and at least looking for partners that might be willing to come in. You just got to fill out the fit, David. And I'm not sure right now, because a lot of those guys you mentioned are either old and hurt or old or hurt, or, you know, there's a lot that goes into being a running back still on the street in late April. And so they've got to feel that out and figure out what makes sense for them, with an understanding that, look, like, sometimes you just don't address every position to the highest level of your ability in an offseason, and you just got to wait a year before you get what you ultimately wanted at the position.
Dan, David is a little worked up about the depth at safety right now, which is totally valid. But I think just listening to Dennis Allen talk about the way he maybe plans to move players around. Dave Wanstead was on this program talking about potentially Tyreek Stevenson maybe playing a little safety. Obviously, Kyler Gordon, Dennis Allen told us he thought about maybe using him at safety a little bit. Where do you assess the depth at safety on this roster?
I wanted more. Yeah. One of my favorite players in the draft was Xavier Watts from Notre Dame. I thought that would have been a fun pick either late on day two, and I don't think he made it to day three.
But it was
one of those ones where when they owned the 72nd pick and if they had kept it, you're like, okay, that feels really good there. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about Kevin Byard, you know, veteran captain that's still going to be there. We have no idea how many games Jaquan Brisker is going to give you in 2025. Elijah Hicks has been dependable when it called into duty as an emergency starter. Owens, probably you want him to be more of a special teams guy for you. I don't love the depth at safety. Mm-hmm. And so if they want to experiment, I think one of the coolest things that we have to do over these next 3 months is figure out what Dennis Allen likes to do and how he likes to do it with the pieces that he has now, because you hear a lot of talk about how this defense is going to be different and they're going to play in a different way and they're looking for these traits, these positions. Now we have to kind of see it with our eyes and how each guy fits.
Dan, we got a minute left, but if you were to assess big picture, whether Ryan Poles, if he were honest with himself, finished this draft with more regret or satisfaction, where would you answer?
I mean, that's a good question, because I do think that The round two pick is a tough one because I do think that they would have loved to have Travion Henderson in that position. And I think there's a alternate world where a simulation gave them Kelvin Banks and Travion Henderson instead of Colston Loveland and Luther Burden. And I think they might have been happier with that. That's not reality. And so you have to kind of make the best with what you have. You know, it remains to be seen. These draft classes take 3-4 years to evaluate. I think they got some things done. And then again, we'll go back to the Trapillo conversation because I do think that's low key one of these picks that is going to be very, very pivotal to which direction the Bears go from here. And so we'll kind of see how he develops and whether he's able to claim a starting role by opening day.
Great stuff, Dan. Can't wait to have you on next time where you can grade the 2022 NFL draft.
Yeah. In 3 years, call me. We'll grade the draft.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune and the Take the North podcast with our guy, Mark Grody. And you can download that on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.